All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of Real Fake Baseball here on Friends with Fantasy Benefits. And before we get into what we do best here, which is talk about baseball, specifically the players in baseball, we want to tell you guys to go ahead and nominate us and Friends with Fantasy Benefits for the 13th Annual Podcast Awards. You know, we're going to be out here making podcasts for you all the time. The least you could do is just go out and nominate us. We ask for people's choice for the sports categories. That's pretty much all I can do as far as a shameless plug. I don't know, Walter, do you have any self-deprecating jokes that can take me down a notch here? It feels weird to ask for things, but I feel like it's just nice of listeners to do.
A vote, it definitely won't be for us.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
For everyone else that all does the other all people the good that
you
work. Like,
all the good podcasts. Exactly. And those are the ones that you're voting for. We're new. You don't have to vote for us.
Just pretend like you're voting for all the good people there. And then it's like, just forget we exist. But yeah, we're here. Yeah. And we're finally back. And we took another week off. We're kind of struggling on doing that, but I don't know. I've been moving. I had a birthday this week, you know.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Walter. Yeah. See, I haven't been using Facebook, so birthdays don't really exist to me anymore.
Oh yeah, there's no way I'd know anyone's birthday without Facebook.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome. I feel like a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, but it was good. Once you get a little we're finally getting a little bit older now, so I actually worked on my birthday for the first time ever. I mean I could have taken the day off, but it was like a Tuesday and it was whatever. I think I'm just going to take off a Monday or something to make up for it coming up. But yeah, we're getting old, Paul. I know people are going to tell us how young we are though, cuz you know, they love to tell us millennials that.
Well, I definitely still feel young. I don't want to like lose any of that, but you know, nothing's better than celebrating your birthday a few weeks later. Everyone surely loves that, Walter. I can tell you that from experience.
Oh no, I'll be celebrating it by myself. Yeah. once you have kids, I'm telling you, you get a few moments to yourself, and it's like magic.
That is a celebration.
Yeah, for real. That's what I'll be doing. I'll probably sleep in that day, and that'll be my birthday present to myself.
Well, this is perfect. We're celebrating your alone time right now by talking a little bit of baseball tonight. And how do you feel about that? Is that okay with you?
Sounds all right.
All right. Well, we're just going to go over some people's values here. I mean, there's a lot of names. We're coming up on the halfway point in the season. Actually, it's pretty much the halfway point in the season because the All-Star game's a little bit later. So we might as well kind of just look at the first half, what we got going for some of these pop-up names, and really try to grasp their value for the rest of the season, and especially Dynasty, because some of these guys are a little bit on the younger side, and it's interesting when you kind of figure a guy like Max Muncy, who we'll get into later, like, what does he mean for redraft, of course? Can you trade him? Should you trade him? But then in Dynasty, he's 27. He's around a certain age. So it kind of gets to that point where it's like, do you want to hold on to him even if you're a rebuilding team? Or do you want to try to sell him? And if for, what can you possibly get and what would you ask for? So we'll get into all that. And if we have time, I mean, we have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. That's the thing. It's all about the time, Walter. And length is not our strength. That's the thing right here.
Yeah, it's definitely girth. It's definitely girth.
All right. So, I mean, the first person, I'm just going to go right to you on this one. I did write about this guy a few weeks ago, but I want to get your thoughts on him because I really like him. I think he's the next Phillies pop-up pitcher. Zach Eflin. I want to get your thoughts on him.
Yeah, I kind of you know, when Zach Eflin got called up, I was just like, oh, that's cool. Okay, let's just forget about him. But you know, he actually had a velo spike this year. He's just pitched really well overall. He's throwing his slider a lot, fastball a lot. It's just, I don't know. I think I'm in agreement with you. I think everything here is pretty real. He's only 24 years old, so he's still young. He's a little young for me to just completely disregard. So I don't know. I think I like him. I would probably be looking to buy him in Dynasty depending on what people are going to want for him. Because like I said, people are going to look at him and be like, oh, it's Zach Eflin. Yeah, he's had a nice little hot streak. He's he's going to cool off. There's nothing really real here. But I don't know. I think I'm buying him.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Zach Eflin is he was a high draft pick as a prep arm. I mean, he's always been young. We are basically shutting him down as a fantasy prospect, and he was only 23. And he had already pitched 120 innings in the big leagues at that point in two different seasons, obviously. But, I mean, to write off a guy like that, that's kind of what we do as fantasy people. And it sucks because as a scout or, you know, someone that's trying to scout prospects or, you know, watch these players as they develop, it's like, a young guy like that playing in the majors is huge, even if he is kind of disappointing at that level. He's up there and he's showing certain things. He's obviously getting some guys out. He's striking some guys out. So there are some things to like there. But this year, yeah, he had the velo spike. He's already a big dude. So that was kind of already in that build for him. And now he's just throwing that slider more. It's already a really good slider. He's throwing the fastball a little bit higher on the plane. So the slider is obviously dropping off the table, and it's all working for him right now. I kind of like what I see too. What would you do with him in Dynasty though?
Oh, I said I'd be looking to buy depending on what people wanted. But I was going to say it's a really good sign for most pitchers, I'd say, unless their sinker is like Dallas Keuchel level, to just like pretty much scrap that pitch. It's just such a terrible pitch because you're essentially pitching to contact, which is – it just never really works unless unless you're like Dallas Keuchel, Kyle Hendricks, those kind of guys.
Blake Treinen.
Blake Treinen, yeah. Well, yeah, when you're throwing 100
– Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Insane movement.
Or like Zach Britton, like if you have a sinker like that, obviously go for
it. Right? Yeah, then you're throwing – then it's good. But
also, I think sometimes it's nice to play a sinker off – like if you have a high – like I know that was a thing with Luis Castillo is he had a high fastball – but he couldn't really get that spin on it. But then he added that sinker last year, and that's really when he started to dominate, is when he could play that sinker off that high fastball. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Obviously, this year it's not working as well for him, but I think we both like him a little bit more than his stats would suggest right now.
Yeah, I agree. And Luis Castillo, perfect example, throwing his sinker more this year and getting demolished. It's just –
it is still a new pitch for him, though, so maybe he's just kind of trying to get used to it. I mean, it is his second year. The Reds really aren't going anywhere, so could be just some development time for Castillo, too.
Yeah, I still like him. I do personally still like him, but it's just like that. Like, why? Why are you going to throw a pitch that is specifically for contact when you have such wipeout pitches? Like, his fastball's really, I know it's a little straight, but then he has that filthy changeup, and the slider's really good too. So it doesn't make any sense to me.
It'll come together for him.
And he keeps doing it, and he keeps getting demolished.
I know, poor Castillo, man. I don't know what he's doing. I really don't. I mean, I wish I could get into the mind of a Luis Castillo right now and just ask him, but.
Yeah, I mean, he pitched really well in his last start. Let me see what he did. Like, if he. He didn't really have any pitch mix change. So it's just like.
It's all there. It just has to be on.
Yeah. I think next week we should talk about some disappointing guys and what we're doing with them. Because, like,
ooh,
I mean, Luis Castillo would fit right in there. And I think in like dynasty leagues, especially, I'd be buying him if you're rebuilding because he still has major upside. But redraft, I don't know. I honestly don't know what to do.
I mean, you have to hold him. I think that there's just too much upside. You don't want to drop him and then, you know, risk not being the highest bid when he starts to heat up again. You know what I mean? Like, and then you just lose him.
Yeah. Luckily, I have no shares of him. We talked about him in the preseason. I was a little skeptical on the price there. So I luckily don't have to deal with that. But I would hold on to him if I have him. I would still be a little cautious with starting him though. I know he just had a really good game against the White Sox, but then again, it is the White Sox who get crushed by right-handed pitching. So I would still be a little worried to use him in a tough matchup.
All right. So
now that we went off the rails,
I don't even know who I don't even know what pitcher we're talking about now. But you know who we're going to talk about now? It's another pitcher, and it's Chicken Strip, Ross Stripling, 28-year-old. So dynasty value is a little bit shaken by that, just because he is a pitcher. He is 28, and he is just kind of coming out of nowhere. But it's really nasty, and I can't really tell what he's doing. Do you have any idea why Ross Stripling is just so much better this year? Because I think he was always a good pitcher, but he's kind of just going crazy right now.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure this out too, and it just – it's so weird. I think it's just he's throwing more strikes. I really think that's what it is. I think he's just like pitching – Just getting more strikes. I mean, he's throwing it in the zone a little bit more this year. And I mean, he's getting first pitch strikes at a significantly higher rate. So he's ahead 0-1 very frequently. So I think just getting ahead in the count, and then he just attacks batters. And it's been huge. Everything there is showing that it's legit. I think that if I owned him and if I'm contending, I would definitely try and go get him, because I think he's going to be cheaper than how much value he can provide for the rest of the way. But if I'm rebuilding, I'm definitely going to sell him.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely seems to be getting more in the zone swing and misses on those curveballs. So he could be pitching in the zone and just trusting those pitches a little bit more to just kind of get by the bat and just miss the barrel entirely. And not really needing to fall off the face of the earth, but just kind of going from the top of the zone to the bottom of the zone is working for him right now. And all of the numbers will, you know, support it. It's kind of crazy. You would think to go to his page and be like, oh, yeah, he's going to blow up soon. But there's just nothing really that says it. And there's nothing really that says he's, you know, should be exploding like this. But he is. And he's kind of filthy. The walk rate is insane right now. It's under 4%. And the strikeout rate is 28.5. So it's like just absolutely insane for Ross Stripling.
Yeah, because normally you assume, okay, he's a guy, he's got a 2.27 ERA. You're like, okay, well, let's just – I know pitchers can't
– sustain
100% control certain things, but it's like, okay, well, let me just see if he has some insanely low BABIP, like John Lester. I know his is like crazy. And then you're like 3.26. Oh, okay, that's above league average. Yeah. Okay, home run to fly ball rate, 12.2%. Okay, that's like right at league average. Everything that's been put into play is kind of just what you'd expect out of a league average pitcher. And then the strikeouts, like he has a good strikeout rate and limits the walks. It's just all around good. I think if he continues with these skills, he's going to be like a low 3 ERA, high 2 ERA pitcher, which is kind of crazy. I think I would expect like a 3-2 rest of season, but that's still really, really good. That's like a top 20 starter.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm kind of just hoping that the strikeouts stick for sure. I mean, the swinging strike rate doesn't really match up with the strikeout rate too much, but I mean, the out of zone swing is pretty high, and you know, he is just kind of looking nasty with some of these pitches. So he's definitely confusing hitters right now. And I mean, if people are kind of just overlooking him on their pitching rosters right now, I would be trying to buy him for a stretch run, just kind of as a throw in, you know what I mean? Like a 2-for-1, and yeah, just throw me Ross Stripling too for as a pitcher.
Yeah, I'm not sure people are just going to throw him in there, but I think that you could easily tell someone, like, you could easily acquire him as like a top 30 starting pitcher. And I think that's perfectly fair.
All right. And the next pop-up guy we have here is Wade LeBlanc. And this one is really interesting because, I mean, I know where he came from. I mean, it's the god. It's Ray Searage. This is just another reclamation, isn't it? Except he had to be sent to Jerry DePoto in Seattle for it to work, right? That's what this is, right? I mean, he was there for 2 years. It had to be.
I have no clue.
I don't know where this came from.
Like, this is one that I would just say in redraft leagues, you're just going to just, like, juice this orange and get rid of him once he shows any signs of regression. And dynasty, I mean, you sell him is for anything that you can get, really. Like, just try and sell, like, he has an extremely low walk rate, so that is good. But like we just said with Ross Stripling, he doesn't have the strikeouts, and he has a 277 BABIP, so that's gonna come up, and it's just, I think it's gonna be ugly, really ugly when he regresses.
I don't know how he survives by throwing a changeup so much. Is it that good? I mean, it's Wade LeBlanc. Can it really be? I mean, he does have a lot of pitches. He works in a changeup and a sinker, though, Walter. And you were just talking about sinkers and how much you hate sinkers.
Well, Wade LeBlanc would be a guy that I would think should use a sinker. He just doesn't have the stuff.
You recommend Wade LeBlanc to use a sinker? Only Wade LeBlanc, maybe.
Yeah.
How many? That's not a good class to be in.
Dallas Keuchel. There's so few starters that I would want to use a sinker. But Wade LeBlanc is just like, he throws like 87. So it's just like, yeah, just get some weak contact. You're not going to blow it by any hitter. So might as well just do something.
We're both in agreement here that we probably didn't even need to talk about Wade LeBlanc. Am I right?
I think he could be a decent whip contributor in redraft leagues. That would be the only thing I'd say. I think he can be somewhat decent if you just need a low whip and you're not worried about strikeouts.
Okay. There you go. That's all. I'm not going to say anything about Wade LeBlanc, but you could use that if you want to. Next guy on our list here, another arm, Freddy Peralta. We'll get to some bats after this, but Freddy Peralta is just having a great season, and he was even performing in the PCL, which is known for high elevation parks and, you know, having more hitter locations than pitcher locations.
And he was in Colorado Springs,
which is the worst of them all. No, but
yeah, it's like pitching in Coors. Yeah.
And then he goes to Milwaukee, which is also a hitter's park. And he's just dominating with a fastball, and it's just it's a funky delivery. I don't know. He just has such a quick arm, really, and I think that he just hides the ball so well that people just can't pick up his pitches. It looks maybe like a little bit higher velocity than it is coming off the gun. And I don't know. I like what I see. Do you see any reason to not believe in Freddy Peralta? I mean, he's doing it at age 22, and he was dominating the PCL too, like at age 22, which is also a really good thing.
Yeah, I'm selling Freddy Peralta. If I got him in a dynasty league, I would 100% sell him, just because it's like he's shown this nice little sample here, and my problem is it's just like, how sustainable is it to just dominate with a 91 mile per hour fastball?
I don't know. That's the thing. It's so weird, but I mean, he is
like he has a 13% swinging strike rate on his fastball, which is crazy because of how many pitches he's already thrown it. So I think he's a guy that he has that extension, and it's just like, like you said, he hides the ball really well, and it's just a funky delivery. I think once he gets through the league and they see him a couple times, it's going to get a little ugly. That's personally how I feel. I mean, in the numbers, there's really nothing there to be worried about. He does kind of struggle with his control sometimes, but I don't know. I think for redraft, he's just going to provide value because I think it's going to take a little while for people to catch up to him. But once they do, I think it's going to be ugly.
Well, he does have this curve that he uses a little bit. So, I mean, it's not like he just has one pitch. He just throws that fastball most of the time. He doesn't have a third pitch. He has a changeup scattered in there here and there, but it's mostly just the four seamer and the curve. So
yeah, we've come to realize that a two-pitch pitcher is so hard to just – it's so hard for them to dominate. Like two-pitch pitchers are few and far between on
– Yeah.
Good one. I mean, there's Chris Archer, and there's
– Rich Hill.
Rich Hill. Okay.
Come on. Yeah. We can think of more, Walter.
I can't really think of any extremely good two-pitch pitchers.
Yeah. No, there's definitely not a long list, that's for sure.
I mean, I think for a while there, Scherzer was close to it, but now he has that.
Yeah, he has enough.
Absolutely devastating change now. That's like that pitch is
McCullers
so nasty.
Was getting close too, but that changeup looks pretty good this year.
Yeah, McCullers. Yeah, he's looking good.
It's interesting, but yeah, I see what you're saying. There is a lot of reasons to not believe in Freddy Peralta, and I get it.
I think the problem is also for me, the fastball is 91.
Yeah.
Which
I think it's just the deception on the delivery. That's all it is. It's so hard. But I mean, like you said, once people pick that up, you know, it's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah. I think he's just, yeah, he's definitely a sell for me. I'd be selling Freddy Peralta.
All right. I get that. Next guy is the guy that we all want to talk about. It really is. I mean, if Travis Shaw didn't already have the mayor of Ding Dong City as a moniker, Max Muncy could be the mayor. Max Muncy, the mayor of Ding Dong City. I mean, we could crown him if we want to, I guess. This is our show. But what do you make of Mr. Max, Mad Max Muncy? I mean, he's just amazing right now. I love everything about it.
Yeah, it's hard. He's really hard to figure out. Because
I've been trying so hard.
Like, I've been thinking about it for like 2 weeks now. I'm like, what? Like,
well, he's
what
obviously
do you
nasty
do with Max Muncy. And I mean, 2016, when he was up with the A's, he had a 15% walk rate and an 18% strikeout rate. It's like, so he's always shown good plate discipline, but he didn't hit for any power at all.
But the home runs that he's hitting now,
yeah,
are
they're
ridiculous.
Shots. Yeah, he's crushing them.
There's no doubt that he's going to be hitting for power from now on. So here's my question.
I don't know about if there's no doubt
all right,
that he's going to be hitting for power, but what I've seen is completely for real.
So here's now, my question. All right, but I have this thought in my head of this is his probably going to be his peak stretch throughout his entire career. Like, it might be. But
it most likely is because it's insane stretch.
In his entire career might be really good. So if you wait, how long would you have to wait for his value to come up to where, like, I think his value can come up to a point in Dynasty where a sustained value will be worth more than selling him high at this moment. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if he shows that he can do this for over a year, you're going to get more value because people are going to be like, all right, Max Muncy's legit. Like, I'll pay a little bit more. Whereas right now, people are going to be like, yeah, you know, I know you want a lot for Max Muncy, but it's still Max Muncy. So, like, you know, let's just get what you can and move on. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's how people are going to try to sell it to you. And I don't know if I would be biting.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I have no clue. Like, it's just so weird. And I think that I would, from what what I've kind of figured out is I think I would buy him. Personally,
if people are
going to say like, well, yeah, it's still Max Muncy. Let me see what I can get for him. I think I'd buy him personally. It looks good. The plate discipline is awesome.
Like, yeah, it's
like
stupid.
That's part of the reason I think. And that's a sustained skill he's shown like over his career. Like,
yeah.
Like in 2015, 2016, he had 20.3 and 20.5 O-swing, and he's at 18.2 this year. So it's gotten even better, but it was already really, really good. So we know he has the plate discipline, and this year he's crushing the ball. Like, even the StatCast data,
he's made the adjustments. That's really what
appearance.
It is.
He's fifth in barrels per plate appearance, mm-hmm. and then I think he's like top 40 in exit velocity on his home runs and fly balls. He's 42nd. So it's just he has a nice combination of elite plate discipline, and he's making a ton of contact, making a lot of loud contact. So I think I'd buy him. Yeah, I would buy him.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking to buy him too. And I have him in I have him in a dynasty league right now. People are trying to buy him, and that's the problem. So, I mean, I'm going to be asking a lot for sure, because if I'm going to make a run in the next 2 years, there's no way that Max Muncy isn't helping me, I don't think. You know what I mean? Like, it's just he's on a different level, and I think he's made the adjustments to hit for power. He reminds me of Justin Turner, really.
Yeah, and next year he already has first base. He already has third base.
He's going to get second base most likely.
Yeah, he already has 8 games played at second base, and he has 6 in the outfield. So realistically, he could have first – I mean, he probably will have first, second, third, and maybe outfield for next year. It's a nice little added bonus there. So, I'd be buying him. I'd be buying him. I have decided.
It is decided. So the next guy on the list – is actually a guy that's near and dear to me. I wrote about him on May 27th. At that time, he had 97 plate appearances. He was hitting .208 with 2 homers, but he had 19 walks and 14 strikeouts, and that's why I fell in love with Johan Camargo. Ever since I wrote about him in the Fab Five over on Razzball, he has 137 plate appearances, and he's hitting .293. 358 with a .520 slugging percentage. That power has really come along. He's struck out a little bit more. He's walking a little bit less, but I mean, he's giving up the plate discipline for a whole bunch of power. So, Walter, what do you think about Johan Camargo?
Yeah, I think he's going to be just like a solid player. I don't really see much that stands out with him. I think he could have a good OBP. Maybe he's like the Eugenio Suarez type that I just completely whiff on that becomes a much better hitter than I had ever realistically expected. But yeah, I just think he's just kind of a guy to me.
See, I think the complete opposite, because I think that the contact skills are pretty good. I think they're really good, actually. I mean, I think that he is giving up a little bit for the power right now, but I think he's only doing it because he can. And if he swings a little bit more, he knows he's going to be able to make the contact. And he's just showing that he can barrel the ball right now. I mean, I was watching the Yankee game the other day, and he took one out, man. It was no doubt. Like, some of these balls that he's been hitting too have been pretty hard for a little guy like him. Like, he's not the biggest dude out there. So I definitely like what I see. I'm not going to really be, you know, buying and redraft or anything if he's just kind of out there, but in a dynasty I'd be looking to see what people want for him, because I think that people are overlooking him just a little bit, and as long as he doesn't get too hot, I think that he's a guy that you could buy pretty cheap. Also, I wanted to say
I think he'd be like, what's he gonna hit, like .270, maybe 20 home runs, something like that
in an OBP league? Definitely is, I would be looking at him a little bit more, because I think the plate skills are pretty solid.
Yeah. And it's like, where'd the walks come from? Like,
he walks, man.
Do you have any reason? Well, he didn't previously.
I mean, people can make adjustments.
Like, he's never had it, like, since rookie ball, he's never had over a 10% walk rate, and it's 13% this year.
Yeah. I mean, what do you want me to say? So I'm not in his head. Like, I don't know. Like, walks are a different story. You can't really tell when someone's making adjustments for walks. Swing changes, this and that, like, they're definitely different, but it's hard to tell when someone is becoming more patient at the plate.
Yeah, because, I mean, he is swinging a lot less, so I guess maybe – I don't know. I get a little skeptical when it's that big of a jump. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
It's not like a normal, like – 3 or 4% jump, something like that, or like what we saw with Muncy, where he had already shown a 15% walk rate in the majors, whereas Camargo in 82 games last year, he only had a 4.7%, 13% this year. So
yeah, question everything, Walter. Keep doing it.
Yep. Hey, that's what I'm here for.
I also wanted to say that I wrote about Max Muncy back on May 20th. So definitely check out the Fab Five article over on Razzball, because he only had 4 home runs when I wrote about him. He was hitting .246. I don't know, man. I probably could have saved people a lot of money. I got him for $17 in a dynasty.
Yeah, you should write about Will Myers next.
Yeah, he's going to be on waiver wires pretty soon. That's for sure, man. He might actually be written about. Let's see, who's next on this list? Ooh, a guy that I didn't write about this year, actually, but you know he's my favorite replacement for any big player that goes down because he just hits for average, and that's pretty much all he does, and he plays every single day, and that's Nick Markakis. That was kind of perfect for the dropped anyway, because I love Nick Markakis.
I don't know what happened.
Nick Markakis is exciting again, and that's what happened. He brought the Thunder this year. And I want to know your thoughts as a longtime Orioles fan. How much do you love Nick Markakis?
Yeah, it's weird because I remember Nick Markakis is like one of the young guns on the Orioles. And
the young
now
guns.
now he's an old man. Yeah,
he was a vet.
I'm honestly, I think you just bank the production that you have. Just keep putting him out there, and he's going to keep hitting for average. I don't know if he's going to keep hitting for power at all, but he'll keep hitting for average. He just keep doing Nick Markakis things. That's pretty much all you can expect from him. He's just solid. Like you said, you fill him in, gets batting average. He used to be really good on the Orioles too, but that was a long time.
Do you
want
to tell us a Nick Markakis story about Nick Markakis on the Orioles? Do you have any?
No, don't have any Nick Markakis on the Orioles stories, really. But I want him to get 3,000 hits. That's all that I care about.
Oh, well, yeah, me too. That would be kind of cool. I would like to see that. Him and Starlin Castro, let's get it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, because I just want their head will explode. He won't have like any stats that'll be worth it. He'll have like 200 home runs.
Yeah.
But he'll have 3,000 hits.
They'll come up with some story about like gritty defense or something like that.
Oh yeah, I think he has some gold gloves.
Yeah, Nick Markakis. Yeah, throw some gold gloves in there. Well, if he plays with the Braves for a couple more years, you know, maybe a ring or two. You know, I mean, it's already developing.
The veteran leadership narrative.
Yeah, Nick Markakis for the Hall of Fame, baby. What year would that be? 2020. No, he's going to play forever, so.
He'd need probably like six more years to. He's 800 hits. He's about 800 hits short. 840 hits. So he'll be about 800 hits short after this year.
Wow. So he's going to have like.
Maybe like 750 short. So he could have like.
Six more years for Markakis?
Five? I mean, he's gotten 160 hits almost every year of his career.
Okay. So that's like 320 hits every 2 years. So he's going to need at least 5 years, most likely six.
Yeah, probably 5 years. It's unlikely, but.
That's very unlikely, unless he has a couple more seasons like this. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, he could be like the David Ortiz of the outfield that only hits singles.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. That only hits singles and sometimes for power.
So actually not anything like – oh, he'd be like Ichiro. There we go.
But Ichiro could hit home runs whenever he wanted.
Yeah, that's true. Even now. You saw the video. He's hitting home runs.
Yeah, I don't know.
He actually could have hit 260 home runs 1 year, but he just liked to hit singles like how baseball should be played.
Like a good teammate.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to ruin any rallies.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the next one.
All right. Let's go to the next one.
You want to talk? Actually, let's just skip over these two guys.
No.
Do you want to talk about the stolen base spike?
I like Jesus Aguilar, though, and I want to know if you think he's legit or not.
Everybody loves Jesus Aguilar.
I know. Because how could you not?
He's one of those he's one of the big beefy boys. But yeah, I like him. He hits for a ton of. I mean, he just hits the ball really hard. He's a big, massive human.
That needs to be a RotoWare shirt soon. The big, beefy boys. We need like a club. Like on the back, it'll be like Gohara.
Aguilar.
It'll be like all the big, beefy boys. It could be like big, beefy boys will be on the back, and on the front, it'll be like, you know those shirts, and it'll be like. It'll say like something in big text, and then it'll have a big ampersand sign, and then underneath it'll have more shit in big text, and then an ampersand. Like, it's just like, I don't know, like You never seen
Knee
Shorts?
Yeah, no. Let's move on from that. That was a terrible idea.
Oh my god. No, I'm gonna send you a link, and you're gonna know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm just not good at explaining things.
Okay. Well. Yeah, send it a text, and that'll be really good for the podcast.
I'm going to send a text to everyone who asks for it. Just tweet at me, at Paul the Martin, and I'll send you exactly what I'm talking about. You don't need a description. That's what the internet's for. Suck it, Walter.
Nice plug. Yeah, Brandon Nimmo, that was a guy I've always liked. I just think he's a good hitter. He strikes out a lot, though. It's kind of weird.
Brandon Nimmo? Yeah, I mean, but still, he takes a lot of walks. That's what you love.
Yeah, I think I would probably be selling him in average leagues right now.
Yeah, that's probably a good bet. What's he going to bring for power, though?
I mean, he has 12 home runs, so he could be like a 20 home run hitter. He's got 7 stolen bases, so what? If he could hit you 20 home runs and steal 15 bases, I mean, pretty solid player.
Yeah, I mean, he's a solid player. I think he got a little bit overblown just because of the OBP league thing. Yeah, he's definitely going to be a guy that has a huge OBP and average league split. I think that you brought him up earlier, but I still don't know how to say this dude's name after. I wish he would just suck so he could just leave the league and I would never have to say his name ever again. But Eugenio Suarez.
A. Eugenio Suarez.
Whatever. I don't care. Whatever.
Eugenio.
Yeah, I don't care, man. But Brandon Nimmo, like, doesn't he kind of remind you of him?
No. But yeah, we can move on. No, he doesn't remind me of him.
Tony Kemp is up. You want to talk about Tony Kemp?
He strikes out way too much to be.
Oh, Tony Kemp just took a walk because he's amazing.
Okay, you need to hop off my boy Tony Kemp, who has liked my tweets.
Oh, so that means that only you can like him, huh?
Exactly.
Okay. I see how that works. All right, who's the next guy you want to talk about, Walter, since you hijacked the host's chair, apparently?
Well, since I hijacked the host role, I'm just going to transition us out of here, Paul, because I'm getting tired. It's getting late. You know, if you want to hear about Paul's terrible T-shirt idea, follow him on Twitter, at Paul the Martin. Follow me on Twitter, at RealFakeWalter. Don't forget to vote, nominate us for the podcast awards at podcastawards.com for People's Choice and the sports categories, Friends with Fantasy Benefits. Don't forget the name. So anything you want to add?
Yeah, just definitely follow me on Twitter because I feel dumb about the T-shirt idea and it's right in my head and I've seen it all over the place. It's been done a million times and I know exactly what I'm talking about. And as soon as I find the picture, I'm going to be so pissed, but I'm going to be so right, and you're going to be pissed too, Walter.
Well, luckily for you, I always make people feel dumb. I don't know if that's a good thing, though.
No, definitely not, and I hate it, but I still love you, and you're a great host when you want to be, and you're a great co-host, so thanks for being here, Walter. Walter, did you say your own Twitter, or did you just plug mine?
No, I did. I did say mine. I actually plugged you a ton in that TGFBI podcast. Listen to me on there. I rambled for about, I don't even know how long it was. It was like 45 minutes with Justin on there. He just let me talk about whatever and just spew nonsense and the such.
Yeah, but don't nominate that for the podcast awards. Nominate Friends with Fantasy Benefits for the podcast awards.
Definitely Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
The podcast awards, 13th annual. It's over at podcastawards.com, not thepodcastawards.com, but just podcastawards.com. I made it into the – it's special. But, sports category, people's choice category. Go out, do your part, folks. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week, I guess. I don't think you're not moving anymore, right, or again?
No, not, okay. Not moving again.
Cool, and I think I shall be here. So, yeah, so definitely see you again next week. We'll talk about some more baseball and I guess possibly some disappointing players. That'll be fun.
See ya.